ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधि साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि. ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ॐ ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्. हरि ओम् एव्रिबडि एण्ड् हेपी मदर्स् डे टु एव्रिबडि. बिलेटेड् बट् ऐ होप् आल् आफ् यू हेड् अ गुड् डे यस्टर्डे. बिफोर् ऐ बिगिन् द टेक्स्ट् I want to answer Suman's question, and I know Suman, you wrote in the email to me, but I believe it is about creation. So if you have the question there, can you read it to me again, please? You have to unmute.
I don't have that in front of me, but the question was that the Ishvara is the when the Purusha wants the creation to happen, that's the time. Then the Ishvara is the one which is the reflection of the Purusha, and then it enlivens the Prakriti to make for the Prakriti to act on with the three gunas and everything. So I was just saying, is that my right understanding, or there is something missing in there?
Okay. So let's begin with your first line. You said when Purusha wants to create. Am I right?
Yes, creation has to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is Purusha never wants anything to happen.
Okay.
So, but creation is happening. Mm-hmm. So then who wants that creation to happen? It is the vasanas of the jivas. Okay. See, when at the time of Pralaya, all the jivas merge into the Supreme Self, but the vasanas have not ended. They have ended temporarily, but not exhausted completely. Mm-hmm. So the vasanas remain in dormant state. To understand this, let me explain our daily life. You know, our daily life, how it begins, how do we wake up in the morning? We think that, oh, I set the alarm and I woke up. The alarm woke me up. No, it is our vasanas which start stirring, and that is what wakes us up. Because sometimes the alarm wakes us up, we put it on snooze, and we have slept for 1 hour or 2 hours after that. Have you not done that? Or there is no alarm set, and we have woken up on our own. Suppose I don't set an alarm. Will I not wake up at maybe 7, 8, 9, 10? Sometime during the day, I'm going to wake up. Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe not at 7, maybe not at my usual time, but I will. So that's why we have to understand that it is not the alarm that is waking us up. It is the stirring of our vasanas for that day, that they start stirring, and then we wake up, and that's how our individual creation happens. And at night, when the vasanas for that day are exhausted, only for that day, that's when we fall asleep. So the stirring of the vasanas wakes us up, and the day is created, or the world is created for us. And when those vasanas only for that day are exhausted, we fall asleep and we go into pralaya. That is called as nitya pralaya. There are five types of pralaya also. This is the daily pralaya, nitya pralaya. Every day, everybody goes to sleep. Maybe at different times, but the entire world goes to sleep. This exactly same thing is happening in the totality. So during the time of pralaya, all the vasanas of all the jivas go into unmanifest condition in the Purusha or in Brahman. Now, they remain in unmanifest condition until the night of Brahmaji is over. There is one day of Brahmaji and one day, chapter 8. Okay, refer to all the details there. So they as long as Brahmaji is sleeping for one day, which is like 4,000 yugas, he sleeps. So we also sleep overnight. Then when Brahmaji is to wake up, these vasanas start stirring. Just like individual vasanas start stirring. What is the meaning of vasanas start stirring? When they are in unmanifest condition, the three gunas are in perfect balance. When sattva, rajas, tamas are in complete balance, no creation can happen. They start now fluctuating. When they start fluctuating, that is what prakriti is. What is prakriti? We said it is sattva, rajas, tamas. In this chapter, what did Bhagavan say? Purusha puts his seed in prakriti. So, and what did we say? What does it mean that he puts his seed? He reflects in prakriti. And why does he reflect? Now we might say, okay, so then why does he have to reflect? Because he has no choice. The sun is there and you put a bucket of water in that thing. The reflection is going to happen. And when that reflection happens in total prakriti, it is called as Ishwara. So Purusha never wants to create. But the vasanas of the jivas are there, which need to be exhausted, which need to be experienced. And that is why there has to be a field of experience. How can you experience something without a field? So the field has to be created. So this reflection, once it happens, Ishwara, with Maya or Prakriti under its complete control. That's why we also said in this chapter that this Maya or Prakriti can create all creatures, animals, plants, humans, everything. We said, what did we say? Human can only give rise to a human baby. Cat can only give birth to a cat. But this Prakriti can give birth to cat and dog and reptile and bird and humans and everything, which is a total Prakriti. That's why Bhagwan called it the Mahat Brahma. The big brick, and that Brahma is not Brahman, it's Prakriti. She's the big one. That is Maya. But that Maya is under the complete control of Ishwara. At every single moment, Ishwara knows that I am that Purusha. I am not under the control of Maya. And that is the totality. And when the total creation comes, from the total creation comes the individual creation. So the same Purusha is reflecting in individual Prakriti, which is known as Avidya. The reason it is known as Avidya is because the Jiva is under the control of Avidya, of Prakriti. We are under the control of the Gunas. That's why we study the Gunas. By studying the Gunas, we are studying Prakriti. And then if Ishwara can hold Prakriti under his control, even we can. And that's what Bhagwan is going to say. You keep Prakriti under your control, you are a Gunatita Purusha. You are that Supreme Self. And that's why for Karma Yogis, this chapter becomes most important. Because karma cannot happen without the three gunas. Karma cannot happen. So those who are into karma, this chapter is the most important in Bhagavad Gita for the Karma Yogins or the Karmins. Those who are into action, those who are action oriented. What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? They need to study this very thoroughly. Because they need to understand that action is happening because of the interaction of the gunas. And if I have to keep these gunas under control, then what should I do? This is what this chapter will explain. Is that clear?
Yes, dear, thank you. Yeah, now I can bring all of those ones in there, Mahat Brahma and all that. Thank you.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Now, one more thing that I had not said last time. I told you Saguna, Nirguna Nirakar is Purusha. And Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, the deities, and then Sri Ram and Sri Krishna, they are Sagun Sakar. Ishvara is in between. Ishvara is Sagun Nirakar. Understand, there are three words. One is Nirgun Nirakar. That is the absolute transcendental truth. Satchit Ananda principle. Purusha. Nirgun, we say, it does not posit Prakriti at all. Nirgun. Without gunas, without attributes, nirgun, nirakar, formless. Ishvara is sagun, nirakar. Why is Ishvara saguna? Because if Ishvara was not saguna, creation cannot happen. Because without gunas, creation cannot happen. Therefore, Ishvara is sagun, but nirakar. In like Sri Ram and Sri Krishna walk this earth, there is no Ishvara that is walking on the earth. There is actually no Ishvara. But we have to posit Ishvara. Vedanta posits Ishvara because otherwise creation cannot be explained. Because I see the creation, I give it reality. I think it is very, very real. It cannot be explained because there is no creation actually from the absolute standpoint. And then Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh also. Have you ever seen Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh walking on the earth? Any stories? No. No. Also, if you look at pictures of Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, Saraswati, Lakshmi and this thing, all of them have, they're like, excuse me, but biological freaks. Four arms, four weapons in four arms. Why have they been depicted like that? That also we should understand. So that we are in awe of them. They are powerful. See, if you look at Sri Ram and Sri Krishna, that's why everybody in Mahabharata thought he was just a magician. He was an illusionist. Duryodhan called him an illusionist, Krishna. He could not believe that he's this Parabrahman because he was ordinary like us, two hands, two legs, walking around, eating, stealing butter, all these things he did. Have you ever seen stories like that of Vishnu doing it or Brahmaji doing it? And Brahmaji sitting in a lotus on the coming out of the navel of Vishnu. The reason they have been depicted like that by Bhagwan Ved Vyasa is so that we are in awe of them. They are divine. We surrender to them. To have that feeling, for us to have that feeling, they have been depicted like that. Lakshmi is standing on a lotus on the water. Saraswati is sitting on the lotus with her Veena. That's why, have you ever seen Bhagwan? I mean, that's the Maya that he showed, but Sri Krishna or Sri Ram sitting on a lotus or something? Sri Ram was sleeping on the floor, right? In exile. He was sleeping on the floor. So then Vishnu took avatar because he is the sustainer. When the earth was in trouble, when people were in trouble, then Vishnu takes avatar. And this is explained to us so that we have a form, we understand forms better. If this were not there, you know, suddenly for everybody to understand this Nirgun Nirakar is difficult. That's why Bhagwan said in chapter 12, Nirgun Nirakar is very difficult to understand, Arjun. So you understand Sagun Sakar, and through that you come to me. As Vedantins, as disciples of Bhagwan Shankaracharya or Gurudev, we must understand that Satchit Ananda is the only truth that there is. And all these forms should be taken as means to reach that goal. That is the whole purpose. Okay? So that's why there should be no confusion. I hope this clarifies and doesn't confuse you all the more. Okay? If there is any other things, then you can ask me also again. Okay? So for now, let's get back into our beautiful chapter. Just a quick revision because it's been a couple of weeks. Bhagwan starts this chapter by saying that I am again, once again, going to tell you that supreme knowledge, knowing which you will attain that supreme siddhi. And the supreme siddhi is that oneness with the Lord. Bhagwan says that this is sadharma maga. It's not like you will look like me. you will be me. You will merge into me. You will come to a place, a point of no return. Okay, this is what Bhagwan says. And then he explains, Mama Yonir Mahat Brahma. My womb is this big Prakriti. That's why big Prakriti, because she can give, the total Prakriti can give rise to all kinds of creatures. And I put my seed means I reflect in that Prakriti. But when I reflect, but I don't reflect because of my own volition. Please understand. Oh, I want to reflect. Please, Prakriti, come on over here and let me reflect. No, no. And when is Prakriti ready to get reflected into is when the vasanas are stirring. When she's ready to create, when the vasanas start stirring, there is creation has to happen. That's when we wake up at the individual level. That is actually when we wake up. We don't wake up with the alarm clock. You should know that. We keep that. We keep, everybody keeps an alarm clock, you know. But actual waking happens because of our own vasanas, and actual going to sleep happens because of our own vasanas for that day being finished. And that's why there are people who don't wake up in the means. What it indicates is the vasanas not only for that day, but for that lifetime were over. So the person doesn't wake up. Haven't we heard of people just going to sleep and not waking up? Our Mr. Kapahi like that. In the afternoon, the nurse saw him going to sleep. When she went to check up on him, he was no more. That is what happens. Vasanas are over. Okay, so this, and he therefore Bhagwan says here, Sambhava Sarvabhutanam, entire creation, this is how it comes, because in chapter 13, he said that Purusha and Prakriti, I told you, Prakriti is inert. She cannot create without the presence of Purusha. Without, and the presence of Purusha in her is the reflection. And when it reflects, it's called as Ishwara, technical explanation. Bhagavad Gita doesn't give technical explanation. Bhagwan is not giving technical explanations in this. And then he's verse 4 is the individual jiva. So there is a totality, the macrocosm and the microcosm. Macrocosm Ishwara, and here it is a Prajna. So Ishwara, Hiranyagarbha, and Virat, that is, you know, your BMI chart. There is Ishwara, and then there is Hiranyagarbha, which is the total mind. Ishwara is the level of V. That's why V is under Om. So Ishwara is also under Om. You have the individual chart Gurudev has given us. So in that, there is V and there is BMI. The V is Ishwara. M and I is Hiranyagarbha, and the B is Virat. That's totality. Okay? And individuality, the V is the causal body, known as Prajna. M and I is Tejasa, and B is Vishwa. There is individual and total. From the totality comes the individuality. Because the individuality is there, the totality exists. Like, because the team is there, one person is called as the team leader. If the team only was not there in your modern, you know, workplace, there are always teams. I have my team. I'm part of this team. I'm the manager of this team. So unless the team is there, how can there be a team leader? If the team is dissolved, then that will that person be called a team leader? There is no team. So without jivas, there can be no Ishwara. That's what Bhagwan said in chapter 7. There is my lower Prakriti and my higher Prakriti. There is Jiva, there is Ishwara, but I am beyond both. Om is beyond both. Om remains common. There is totality and there is individuality. Okay? And then these, Bhagwan says that there are these three gunas, and I told you, Prakriti is the gunas. It is not that an adjective. Sattva, Rajas, Tamas is, they're not adjectives to Prakriti. They are Prakriti. And they all three bind. And we talked in detail about how do they bind? Is the bondage even real? Can it be real? If it was really real, there's no way we can come out of that bondage. Because it is only mithya, I feel bound. I think I am bound. That's why we can come out of it. Okay, Sattva, Rajas, Gunas and Tamas, I've told you, they will be talking more about them. They can never go to zero. They are all present in all of us. Even in the realized master, there is Tamas, because we see him sleeping. but he sleeps for 4 hours, we sleep for 8 hours, but nevertheless he sleeps, which indicates presence of tamas. Body is there, which is tamasic. Body can never become sattvic or rajasic. Body is tamas. Action that is coming out of the body is rajas. The knowledge that is required for that action is coming out of sattva, and therefore all three gunas are always at play. Okay? And we saw 6, where Bhagwan says, so he's first he said all three gunas bind. So he says, how does sattva bind? Sattva binds to sukha and jnana. So I told you there is when we follow a certain discipline, when we feel happy about something, we get used to that happiness. And we are happy is not a bondage. Being happy is not a bondage. But when that situation, person or object, if that is not there and I get upset, then I know that I'm bound. How do I know that I'm bound? That we should understand very clearly. All these things are for self-evaluation. So am I bound to this happiness? I told you, I'm having a nice good day and, doing my reading and everything. And now there is a knock on the door and now I have to make tea for this person. And now I'm upset. So if I get upset that this person just showed up and now I have to do things and I have to leave my studies, which was giving me great happiness, I'm bound by that happiness. And this is how sattva binds, because you get used to that, that nice, quiet, calm day, your own self, this, that, everything, whatever happiness. And when those circumstances are not there, because circumstances are going to change, same circumstances cannot remain, same weather cannot remain. Now Vancouver is having beautiful spring weather, right? But it'll go, it'll change. So if I get upset, that is gone. I'm bound by that weather. That weather is, and I told you, there's no bondage. Eyes don't have any bondage. Otherwise, eyes get fixed on the favorite color, they will not be able to see any other color. Mind, so it's not bound. But this is how I express bondage manifests when I become unhappy, when I'm upset. And knowledge. So knowledge, the way knowledge binds is I have that. It's ego, I know so much. But you have to understand that when I say I know so many different subjects or so many different whatever, it is through the mind. That knowledge is through the mind. And therefore, then when there are things which I don't know, I get upset. And that's how knowledge binds. I have to understand that I am knowledge itself. This Purusha, this Satchitananda Brahma is knowledge itself. It is not a knowledge of, it is knowledge itself. If I can understand that, if I can realize that, then I'm Gunatita Purusha. All right. So we had completed until then. We are now on verse 7. Rajo ragatmakam viddhi trishna sanga samudbhavam tannibadnati kaunteya karma sangena dehinam. Know thou, Rajas, to be of the nature of passion, the source of thirst and attachment. It binds fast, O Kaunteya, the embodied one by attachment to action. This, most of us are in this, at this level. Rajoguna. So Rajoguna manifests. The result, the effect of Rajoguna is Trishna and Asanga. Those are the two words. Now, Trishna is thirst. Thirst is what? A desire. Thirst, we say thirst for water. But if I'm thirsty to get a promotion, it's a desire. I want this. I want that. I want that. And I told you already in the Vivek Charami class, I said, the more intense the desire, the more intense is going to be the action. Is directly proportional. Action is directly proportional to desire. Action does not happen unless a desire comes in mind. There has to be some desire. So Rajoguna is the cause. Trishna is the effect. This Trishna, this desire then manifests as action, because a Rajoguni person, once the desire arises in the mind, he cannot keep quiet, he or she. That desire has to be fulfilled. And then what happens is he gets bound to that action. And then when he's asked to leave that, he's upset. He gets upset. So any action that you are getting bound by, if I'm teaching now, and if I am bound, how will I know that I'm bound to the teaching? I won't know until Mukhya Swamiji, Swami Sorpananjit comes and tells me, Jaya, you don't have to teach anymore. Don't teach. Then what is going to be my reaction? I can say, oh, I'm not bound. I'm very detached and all that. Okay, because nobody's telling me not to do it. If I get orders from Guruji or Swami Sorpananji that, okay, Jaya, you don't have, then what is going to be my reaction will tell me whether I was bound by this action or not. And if the rajoguna is predominant, then I'm going to get really upset. Really upset. That if when I'm told, not, you don't have to do this anymore. This is what will tell bondage. This is what bondage is. And asanga. See, asanga, if you say sangha is attachment. Asanga means a becomes, the a prefix a means opposite of attachment, means detachment. But this is asanga. Asanga means extreme attachment. Extreme attachment. So it's not asanga. This Trishna, asanga it is. Trishna and asanga. Those are the two words. Trishna, sanga, samudbhavam. This becomes sandhi. There is a sandhi there. So attachment. Then I get attached to my action, to the action. Because then that action is either giving me the result and then it is leading me into more action because I did this much and I got this much. Now I want more and now I'm going to do more action. Or if that action, the other result is it may not give me the desired result, then I'm even prompted to do even more. I didn't get it this time. Now next time I'm going to get it. So I'm going to try it again. And this is how it creates attachment. Okay. And action itself is not, like I told you, doing action, like being happy is not bondage. But when that happiness is not there, when that karma is not there to do, are you going to remain the same? See, Sri Ram in Ramayana, we see, you know, one day he was told, you are going to be the king of Ayodhya. Right? Everybody knows. Same smile, smile. He smiled. Okay, fine, father, you tell me, I'll take over as king. Next day, within 24 hours, he was told, no kingdom, you go to the forest. Did he get upset? Did he cry? Did he this thing? Same smile. That's what tells us he was not bound. He was not bound by that kingship that he was getting. And he went and told his mother, this is how Tulsi Rama and Tulsidas Ji describe. He says, father has given me the kingdom of the forest. He doesn't say, I've been sent into exile. She did this because of that. No, that's what tells us there's no bondage. He was above bondage. He gunatita purusha he was. Okay. So tanni badnati kaunteya karma sanginam dehinam. So this Trishna and asanga, Trishna and desire and attachment is at the level of the mind. And then karma is at the level of the body. So this is how body and mind both are getting bound. Because the mind is then unhappy that the karma or people, you know, the body becomes old and cannot do action. And they are so restless. And I have seen people like this. They cannot even stand on their own 2 feet. And they're like, what should I do? What should I do? And I'm like, can you please sit down? Because, you know, if you stand and if you fall, then I am going to be in trouble. Please, just sit. Don't do anything. But that is rajas. That is what rajas is. Because it doesn't let you sit quietly. You have to do something. And then that becomes a cause for bondage. There's endless desires. And then you become, and I think Swami Ishwananji said, rajas, raga is that which shines. It's of different colors, they say. Rajas is very colorful. Because why? Desires are very colorful, very different. Na? So many colors, that many desires. As many desires, that many different actions are coming. Okay, so this is how rajas binds. We have to know this for ourselves so that we can, you know, do some introspection and we can see where I stand. And then from there, where should I go? Because we don't even know this, these things. All right, any questions so far?
Jayaji, I had a question.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the Western society, like these days we hear quite commonly, everybody saying, oh, follow your passion, mm-hmm. and I push you to follow your passion, whatever it is. So in that case, we are pushing them towards the binding, unless, you know, we know that we don't get upset when, even though we are going towards whatever we want to do or we, you know, are passionate about. But then I guess we just have to remember that we shouldn't get upset when things don't happen the way we think they should be happening, even though we are passionate, right?
See, when we when you say Western world and we are saying follow up, this is, it depends where that person is. If that person is a young person, we'll be talking about Swadharma. Where is that person? He is now in the growing stages. Follow your passion means follow something that you like because you will stay with it. What is follow? Suppose, you know, the parents are doctors. Example, you know, now the parents are pushing that child to go into medical school, but that child wants to become a painter or a singer or something else. So that is what it is. Follow your passion. Swadharma Pichave Chari, come now next Sunday. You know, I'll be talking about that in chapter 2. So if his passion is to be something else, to go towards arts, then don't push him into science. That is what follow your passion is. So then you will stay with it. And then, of course, how much spiritual knowledge, if they have that spiritual knowledge, right? If they are on the spirit, we are on the spiritual path. That's why we are even studying this text. That's why even we know this. Otherwise, we wouldn't even have known this. So when we are on the spiritual path, yes, follow your passion. Understand that that action is coming out of Rajas. And then understand that at some time, that action will have to stop. You're going to have to retire it someday. That's why they tell you, first day of job, they tell you, start saving for your retirement. Because retirement is going to come, whether you want it or not. Those people who cannot withdraw, Pravritti, chapter 18, Bhagavan will say, you must know when to engage. You must, even more important, to know when to disengage. If you don't, if you can't disengage, huge problem, huge problem. There, that's why in India, they will talk about mothers-in-law. They'll say, you must know when to withdraw from your daughter-in-law's life, from your son's life. Leave them alone. Otherwise, their mother-in-law would constantly, you know, putting their nose in the son's life. Why? Daughter's life. Why? Your child is married. Leave them alone now. Let them make their own mistakes. Let them learn. So nivritti is even more important than pravritti. But these things people don't know. Then they become miserable. So we have to know this. That yes, you know, I can do things, I will do things. But there will be a time when I will not be able to do things. That. Look at Swami Tejomananji. Do you think anybody asked him to withdraw? Wasn't he doing a fantastic job? But he himself chose to withdraw. Himself, he's given up. That's why we give the example of the autumn leaf. Like the autumn leaf falls, there is no pain to the leaf, there is no pain to the tree. We must know when to fall off. Ourselves, we must know. Then there will be no pain because he himself has given it up. Now he's very happy. Extremely, no administration, he's extremely happy. And he's doing, now he's following his passion because he loves to teach. Let me tell you, he has told us that. The teaching, but with administration, he couldn't teach as much. So when he was given this Acharya's job, he was most happy. He said, ah, ha, 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 ha. This is, but he's not bound to it either. That is sattvic pleasure. But he knows if he, God forbid, if due to some reason he's unable to teach, he will not be unhappy. He'll be happy. He'll say, okay, fine. He stayed in solitude for 4 months. The first year he retired, he said, nobody would go. They would just leave his even lunch and dinner on the dining table. He would just come and eat and go alone. He did not speak, no phone calls, no nothing. Then he painted that Krishna picture, all those things he did, wrote things. So if he can stay in solitude, like, can we stay even for like 4 hours? Think. Okay, now tamas.
Question.
Yeah.
Yes. So just following the previous question, what happens if the surrounding doesn't allow us to be our practice this, what we just heard, you know, to be equanimous in all the kind of gunas? If the surrounding forces us to, I wouldn't say forces us to, how can we be away from the such action-oriented people?
Mentally, you should be detached. Because if you're surrounded by action-oriented people, and if that is your prarabdha, like you can't leave. Otherwise, if you can leave and go and stay in an ashram, then you should. But we can't. Or go to the Himalayas. Arjun, that's what Arjun said. I will go to the Himalayas. And what did Bhagwan say? No, stay here and fight. So we have to, mentally, we have to be able to detach. Things are happening, but mental, and what is detachment at the mental level? Don't let it affect you. It should not affect. We talked about overpowering of emotions, right? Overpowering should not be there. Overpowering of hate, overpowering of the, I am sattvic, but the minute I start saying, oh, this is, then I'm only falling from sattva into rajas. So that's why then where what comes is control of mind. And how is mind to be under control? Purification. Once again, we come back to the same thing. It's all in the mind. Okay. Tamas tattvajanya, tamas tvanyanajam vidhi, mohanam sarvadehinam, pramadalasya nidrabihi, tannibadnati bharata. But know thou, tamas, to be born of ignorance, deluding all embodied beings. It binds fast, O Bharata, by heedlessness, indolence, and sleep. So tamasaha adnyanajam vidhi. Jam is born, adnyanam. So it's born out of ignorance. Ignorance of what? We have talked about this. Tamas is ignorance. Ignorance of our real self. It's not ignorance of one subject or the other. It is ignorance of who I really am. I really am that Purusha, but now I'm ignorant of that fact. And then, no, Mohanam is, deludes. Sarva Dehinam. This name Mohanam, see, Moha is delusion. And Moha Na, if you separate, Moha Na means no Moha, no delusion. Therefore, Bhagavan Shri Krishna's name is Mohana. Mohana, no. So when you separate that na, but this Mohanam is delusion. It is delusion. Like when you take it together, Mohanam Sarva Dehinam. Everybody. Now, Pramada, heedlessness. Pramada is forgetfulness. And what it is, the forgetfulness of our own true self, who I really am, or what is the purpose of my life? What am I here for? Those type of things we either forget, most of us, we don't know. I think the purpose of my life is to gain education, then money, then this. And yes, those are your short-term goals. But the ultimate goal of all human beings is moksha or mukti. So that must not be forgotten. But that gets forgotten because of tamas. Okay? Pramada. Pramada is opposite to sattva guna. Because a sattvic person knows the final goal. Knows the final goal. But tamasic pramada, it's opposite of sattva. Alasya is laziness. So procrastination. We have always described tamas as that, right? Procrastination, tomorrow, later, you know, I'll do it later, this thing. So alasya is laziness, is opposite of rajoguna, because rajoguna will make you act. So you want to act, you want to perform action, but with laziness, then you're opposite of that. And nidra, in that book, I think there is the sattvic and rajasic and tamasic nidra, right? So sattvic sleep is that which when you wake up, you're absolutely fresh. You feel fresh. You know, when you have a dreamless sleep, and if you get straight 6 hours or 7 hours of sleep, you feel fresh. But whole night, if you have dreamt, then in the morning, you don't feel that fresh. That's my experience. Huh? So that, and this tamasic nidra means you slept for 12 hours, 13 hours, 14 hours. Teenagers can do that. Nobody else can. Right. So that is tamas. That much nidra is not required. Normally 6 to 8 hours, they say. Gurudev used to sleep only for 4 or 12. And then I think he used to wake up at 3. So 1, 2, 3. 1, 12, 1. So I think only 3 hours or 4 he used to wake up, I think, maybe 4 o'clock. So 4 hours of sleep. But normally person requires 6 to 8 hours, average sleep, 7 hours. But if you start sleeping like 12 hours, 13, like till 12 o'clock in the afternoon, you sleep and that's tamasic. Okay, that's nidra. And this, then the person gets bound by these because when he is asked to do some work, then he doesn't want to do it. So that's why there is pramada, which is a forgetfulness of what the ultimate goal is, who I really am. And then there is alasya, laziness. So there is no goal in life. Just, you know, whatever. In these three things, see, raja, tamas is leading to non-apprehension. We have used these words before, Gurudev's words. Non-apprehension leads to misapprehension. And we have given that example 100 times. I do not see the rope, and so I misapprehend. I superimpose a snake on it. That is rajas. Superimposing the snake is rajas. Not seeing rope is tamas. So this tamas, not seeing myself to be who I really am. I see myself as this body, mind, intellect. And then when I see myself as the body, mind, intellect, then the mind is desires, and then the body is going to perform action, rajas. This is how this cycle works. Okay. Now, depending on these three gunas, are in chapter 4, Bhagavan has explained this, but I'll explain this once again. Are these classifications? Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam, Bhagavan says. Varnas. What is the varnas? Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. And we have classified them as castes. And by birth, we say, oh, he's a Brahmin, he's a Kshatriya. And then the Brahmin is looking down upon the Shudra and all that. No. So a Brahmin is one where Sattva is predominant. Next is Rajas. And third is Tamas. That is a Brahmin. He could be born in any family. And we see that in the Western world as well. There are people who are calm and quiet. And then they do a lot of action. And then there is Tamas at the very end. And the action is done for the good of the totality. It is not a selfish action. A Kshatriya is one where Rajas is predominant, followed by Sattva, and then last Tamas. And that's why we see Kshatriyas, you know, when we say Kshatriya Arjun or all the military, army, they're fighting for the country. So they action oriented or administrators, the kings were Kshatriyas. So they were administrators, but they did that in a very honest way. And there was always a priest, a Brahmin priest advising them. Therefore, for Dashrath, there was Vashishth Muni. For everybody, there is a sage there. Janak Rishi had Ashtavakra. So all the kings had this Brahmin. So the king did all the administration. King brought in all the wealth. Supported the Brahmins, you know. So the Kshatriyas are Rajasic at the top, followed by Sattva, followed by Tamas. Vaishya is Rajas at the top, followed by Tamas, and then Sattva. Because a Vaishya also does action, but he is what is in it for me attitude. And there are people like that even here. So it's not just in India. There are people who, you know, like once Guruji had told us, he said, Guruji said to somebody, will you work for the mission? He said, what is my commission? So the one who is looking for a commission everywhere, what is in it for me? What do I get for every single time? You must not ask this question. you're at work. You know, suppose someday they say, okay, now, can you please work? Will I get overtime? Will you give me time off? Every single time, you should not think like that. When you think like that, you're Vaishya. And then the Shudra is, Tamas is at the top, followed by Rajas and followed by Sattva. Now, these four categories, nobody is superior and nobody is inferior. I was thinking about this. And if you think a householder's life, okay, a married, like even me, I am all four at the same time. Same time means not at the same time. So when I'm cleaning my house, I'm a Shudra. When I'm making a budget for my monthly expenses, I'm a Vaishya. Accountant, accounting I'm doing. I'm looking at my bank statements. I'm seeing what, you know, what bills have to be paid. I'm a Vaishya. When I'm cooking, when I'm, you know, doing some action, I'm Kshatriya. And then when I'm studying, I'm a Brahmin. So the same person is all four at different times. And even the gunas, when I sleep at night, tamas is predominant. Now this, that verse will come. That these gunas, I've always told you that none of them can go to zero. So therefore, they should not be considered as rungs of a ladder. That's what how it was in India. And right now, unfortunately, some of them, they do think that we are Brahmin, so we are superior. And then the Kshatriya and then and Shudra is the lowermost. It is not. They are four pillars of society. So if there is a ceiling, you need four pillars. Which pillar are you going to say is inferior to the other pillar? So they must never be taken as rungs of a ladder. They must be taken as pillars of the society. A society requires all four. And in Purusha Sukta, the description of the Virat Purusha is face is the Brahmin. All right. Shoulders are Kshatriya. Thighs are Vaishya and feet are Shudras. Now in our own body, say you Brahmin, feet can't move. What are you going to do? Okay, the face can see, the eyes can see. You can't even walk there. How can you say the Shudra is lower than the face? You have no strength in your shoulders to carry your purse. What point is there? Thighs, oh, Vaishyas. Huh? Who needs Vaishyas? Without thighs, you won't be able to even stand. Look at your own body. That's why Virat Purusha is described like that. That the face is Brahmin. So which one, which part will you say I don't need or which is inferior? Do you think your legs are inferior to your hands? How will you walk? Your hands are inferior. No, everybody is equal. Everything is required. The perfect example is you just have a cut in your little cut in your little bun finger and then little band-aid, you like miss that finger that, oh, I can't use it. Every time that band-aid will, you know, remind you. So there is nothing superior or inferior, none of the gunas. And also, you know, it's not, oh, I'm a very sattvic person, you know. No. I'm sattvic also, I'm rajasic also, I'm tamasic also. Everybody is all three. So nobody should think that I'm very sattvic in that one. This is what Arjun did, mistake. That's what Bhagwan didn't like. Arjun said, who are these evil-minded sons of Dhritarashtra? Bhagwan did not like that. They were evil-minded, but you cannot say that they are evil-minded. So because we ourselves fall from sattva then, when we do such things, or we think like that. Okay. Now he concludes in 9. Sattvam sukhe sanjayati raja karmani bharata jnanam avrutya tu tamaha pramade sanjayatyuta. Sattva attaches to happiness, rajas to action, O Bharata, while tamas verily shrouding knowledge attaches to heedlessness. Okay, so he's talked about these separately and now he's concluding. We have to know that these are creating bondage and our effort should be not to get bound. There is no real bondage, but we feel, we get upset. So what is the point? What is the idea here? Is don't get upset when things change. Things are constantly going to be changing. Today is going to be a good day. Tomorrow is not going to be a good day. Someday some things are going to happen. Someday, you know, it'll be an eventless day. and you can do things that you plan to do. That's what happens. You know, someday we plan and then everything goes according to plan. Someday we plan and everything falls apart right in the beginning of the day. Right? Or is it only my experience? We see that. Right? That's why this chapter is very much like, this is all we see. So he concludes it there. Any questions so far? Okay. And like I told you, in before creation, these gunas are in perfect balance. So no creation happens. When they start stirring, then creation happens. Now, so when do the gunas produce the effects described above? Okay.
Jayaji, one question before you proceed.
Yeah.
When we do any action, rajas, tamas, whatever, and we do it with good intention.
Mm-hmm.
So what will be its effect? It will be our indifference then.
What will be the effect of you doing an action with good intention?
So we will not have its, when we are doing it with something that I have to do it. Not I have to do it because I wanted to do it, but I have to do it because I'm supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, as long as the I is there, that is the problem. I am doing it. And that I is the small I. That is the ego. That is the problem. There's not good intention, bad intention. It is not actually the action. Arjun killed his own grandfather. Right? But Bhagwan said, don't think you're doing it. Bhagwan said, no, that I have done it. I have already killed him. You just take the credit. Can we do that? Can we say, I'm not the doer, but these things are happening through me? Then intention, nothing matters. Because there's no question. There's no question of intention because you're not there. When you say, I did it out of good intention, the I is still present. That is the problem. And Bhagwan Raman Maharshi would say, question, who is the I who has good intentions? This is what Raman Maharshi would say. He's very, very single-pointed about this inquiry into the I. That is the root of the problem. I did it. I had good intentions. I am sattvic. I am this. I am the I. That I is. That's the problem. Okay. Clear?
Rajas tamas cha bhibhuya sattvam bhavati bharata rajas sattvam tamas chaiva tamas sattvam rajas tatha.
Now sattva rises, prevails. O Bharata, having overpowered rajas and inertia, now rajas having overpowered sattva and inertia, and now inertia having overpowered sattva and rajas. And I've told you this many, many times, nothing can go to zero. It is not possible and it shouldn't. But at a certain given point, one guna will be predominant, overpowering the other two gunas. So the percentage of that increases. You see this in yourself. There will be a time when you will want to study. You will want to read. You will want to, you know, you'll want to be calm and quiet, right? And then there are times when what should I do? What should today? Let me do this. Let me cook. Let me, you know, make extra things, this, that, and all. And then there are times when you're like, okay, that's it. Enough. Now I need to just go and sleep. It's your experience. It's our experience. Right? Or no? Yeah. So this is what Bhagwan is telling us. That there will be times and this is where if you can recognize which guna is predominant, take advantage of that guna at that time. So suppose if rajas is predominant, then you say, okay, what do I have to do? Okay, I have to clean, I have to shred paper, I have to answer emails, I have to do this, that. You know, then get that way. What happens is rajas quietens. So when rajas is predominant and you do some action, then rajas quietens, and then the mind says, okay, now enough, now let me sit and read. The mind will do that. Watch your mind. Watch your mind. And there are times when the mind says, okay, now I want to read. Now nothing. Forget all the work. It will. You watch your own mind. And this is what the gunas do. At any one given point, there'll be one predominant and the others, they'll follow. And take advantage. And that's what I think I'd said, like somebody had asked me, how do you invoke? So when, suppose now what happens is, there is no predominance, but there is a situation where you are supposed to do something. Okay. And the best example is, you know, when you're not well and you've been asked to take rest or you've had surgery. I gave you the example of surgery. So when people have surgery, then what happens is obviously you're on the bed and you're attached to, you know, so many tubes. You are supposed to be tamasic. Then don't start getting, who should I phone? Why TV is not there? And why can't people visit me? You know, don't start these things. That is what is meant by invoking tamas. You say, okay, I want tamas. I just need to sleep now. That's it. Without them giving you any sleeping pills, which in the hospital they'll give you, you should be able to say, no, I don't need it. I am able to sleep. Don't give me that. You have to be able to, then they are your servants. Otherwise what? You are their servant now. So tamas says, go to sleep now. Are kya utne ka? Why bother to go for a walk? Morning time is a very good time to practice this. So when it's cold and I can hear the rain and I'm like, okay, it's raining. And I say, no, get out of bed now, Jaya. You invoke rajas at that time, because that time rajas is required, because you're in deep tamas. And now you have to get up early in the morning and you have to go for your walk or your run. Invoke rajas. I am going to get up. I am going to do this. That is how you overcome these gunas. When the guna is conducive to what you want to do, then you welcome it. Suppose now, you know, now I have to take class. Sattva, peacefully, quietly. Nice. Sit. That's fine. But suppose if I have to do class and now I'm thinking, oh, you know, what should I cook tomorrow? Then don't encourage that. So whatever is, if you have to do something, then you need, suppose if I have to do grocery shopping, then you invoke rajas. I have to invoke rajas. No. Now is not the time for me to sit and read because I have got no food in the fridge. I need to go shopping. Then you go. So that way you play with the gunas. That way, then that is how you can rise above the gunas. The aim in this chapter is to become gunatita, guna atita, atita transcend the gunas. This is what, because Bhagavan says, Om is above the gunas. Please remember in that chart, gunas are starting only from the vasana level. So Om is above. So when we transcend the gunas, we are closer to Om. And that's the goal.
Sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakasha upajayate jnanam yada tada vidyad vivridham sattvamityuta.
When through every gate sense in this body the light of intelligence shines, then it may be known that sattva is predominant. So Bhagavan is explaining, how do you know which guna is predominant? So not that, please, light of intel, not that rays of light are going to shine out of our body, nothing like that. But when your mind is calm, what happens is, in a calm mind, solutions come very easily. Suppose if there is a problem that you're facing, you don't know what to do. In an agitated mind, the solution will not come. So when the mind is calm, you must have noticed, you know, that's why they say, okay, count to 10 when you're angry. You know, give time. So quieten the mind. So that is what will happen. The mind will become quiet when sattva is predominant. That's why I told you, when the sattva is predominant, then you feel like reading. When the mind is quiet, then the mind says, you know, I don't want to watch too much violence on TV or, you know, that type of thing. I want to sit quietly and read. Even, you know, when the mind is sattvic, that's what happened. I think it was in the Sunday class, Dinesh, you know, he finished the bhajans like 2 minutes before. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, Jayaji, you know, there's 2 more minutes. Should I play bhajan? And I'm like, no, let's just sit quietly now. Because you see, at that time, you don't even want to hear the bhajans. Bhajans is sattvic. But when the mind absolutely, I said, no, let's just sit in peace for 2 minutes. Can we not sit without any bhajans or without talking or anything? Let's do that. That tells that sattva is then at that time predominant. When you even don't want to hear bhajans, because bhajans actually is sattvic sukha. Listening to that. But then there comes a time when you don't even want to hear. You just don't want any sound. You just want quiet. That's what. So, and I think Swami Ishwananji said that 4 hours is sattvic, the first after sunrise, six after sunrise. So, and then 8 hours is rajas, 10 to 6 p.m. and 8 hours is tamas. This is how the day is divided. And then at night, then you sleep. So 10 to 4 a.m., 4 a.m. That's why 4 a.m. they say is Brahma Murta, and that's when we should get up. That's what, you know. So because that time also, there is sattvic time, rajasic time, and tamasic time. Everything in this world is under the sway of the gunas. I told you, animals also, there is sattva, rajas, tamas. Plants also, there is sattva, rajas, tamas. Food also, there is sattva, rajas, tamas. And the way we classify food is by the effect it has on the body. And that will come in chapter 16, if I'm not mistaken. Daivi Asuri Sampati, or 17. One of those chapters will then describe how the food becomes sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. That's why onion and garlic, onion is considered rajasic, garlic is considered tamasic. And that is the reason that Swamiji's, those who are new initiates, they avoid these two. Because once when Swamiji had come, and then of course his diet was no onion, no garlic. And one of the people who had invited him for bhiksha, he questioned him, why do you say that? So he said, no, this is the reason that onion will produce rajas, garlic will produce tamas in the mind, and we are trying to remain in sattva. So if you're trying to remain in sattva, you should avoid these two. Now, for householders, I know my friends who will, they'll add, you know, onion and do everything. Like even if the recipe demands, add it. That is how my principle is. If the recipe specifically says this has to be done, onion and garlic and all, I eat both. But garlic, so then they say, oh, garlic, it's good for cholesterol. So then constantly day and night, they're eating garlic. So what they're doing is then feeding the body, but then the mind is going into tamas. So for a spiritual seeker, that balance has to be maintained. Yes, the body has got high cholesterol, but that doesn't mean that morning, evening, afternoon, you'll keep on eating garlic. Because then you want your mind to be in sattva because you're a spiritual seeker. Right? So that balance has to be maintained between a healthy body and a healthy mind. A healthy mind for a spiritual seeker is a sattvic mind. So that's why they say first you exercise the body. Don't come to a stage where your cholesterol is gone that high. If you are exercising properly and all, the cholesterol need not go that high. Right? But sometimes genetically it will go. Then okay, then you take medication. It's genetic, they say. So that way. So this is how this balance has to be maintained. There has to be a balance. Okay? Then certain days you can say that I won't eat. Like I usually will not eat on Mondays because that's my fast day. So then I can say, okay, at least so that one day you avoid garlic and onion or whatever, you know, whichever day, that way. So that's why he says that, how will I know when sattva is, and these qualities are for self-analysis, not for judging other people. It's not like that. We ourselves, we want to improve ourselves. We don't want to improve anybody else. It's okay. Let them do whatever, you know. I want to improve myself. So when sattva is in predominance, then do the reading at that point. There'll be clarity. When there is sattva, there'll be clarity in the intellect. Clear it'll be. That's why light, it is of the nature of light. Sattva, even in colors, I don't know if I told you, sattva is, white is a representation of sattva, and red is a representation of rajas, and black is a representation of tamas. That's why in the ashram, we have to wear white. When we were there for 2 years, everybody had to wear white. Sattva. It's a, you know, in the day. Oh, sitting position is sattvic. Standing position is rajasic. And sleeping position is tamasic. Therefore, meditation must always be done sitting down. Or a spiritual lecture must all, the speaker will always should be sitting. And this audience also should be sitting. But a military general, when he is, you know, inspiring his soldiers, he is standing and the soldiers are also standing. It's not, you can just sit. That's why you should never do meditation. Well, let me lie down and do meditation. No, it's tamasic. The position of the body also has to be sattvic, so that the mind also remains sattvic. Lobha pravrutirarambha. Oh, 7:35. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize the time. Sorry, guys. Okay, so we'll stop here. Any questions? We'll take it up next time. Very, it's pretty simple chapter now to understand. Nothing difficult. Is it difficult? No, very good, very good. Because 13 was like very difficult. So I was feeling, and I apologize. I just didn't notice the time. I was thinking I'll go up to verse 18. That's okay. No worries. Okay. So if there are no questions, or if there are any questions, you can always write to me, and we'll close now. Om Swasti Prajabhya Paripalayantam Nyayena Margena Mahim Mahishaha Go Brahmanebhya Shubhamastu Nityam Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Kale Varshatu Parjanyaha Prithivi Sasya Shalini Desho Yam Kshobarayita Brahmana Santu Nirbhayaha Om Sarvesham Swasti Bhavatu Sarvesham Shantir Bhavatu Sarvesham Purnam Bhavatu Sarvesham Mangalam Bhavatu Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Asato Ma Sadgamaya Tamasato Ma Jyotirgamaya Mrityorma Amratam Gamaya. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Carry on.